They just played the Grand Slam. They're replaying the game from last night, and Martinez just hit that Grand Slam off a hater. Oh, front row Crawford boxes. Terrible.
I feel bad. I feel bad for whoever caught that ball, because you get the, you know, front row of the Crawford boxes. You got a really good chance at some action, but then you end up catching the ball that is only a home run, Paul, in one of 30 MLB ballparks, and it's the other team doing it.
It's the other team doing it, which means you got to throw it back.
Did you see the Dodgers fan that it looked like, I can't remember whose home run it was in the Dodgers series, an Astros player hit a home run, and when they cut to the Dodgers fan, it looked like the guy who had caught the ball, it almost looked like he pulled a ball out of his pocket and threw it on the field.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the timing of it was such that I don't think he had caught the home run ball by the Astros player and then put it in his pocket and then remembered to throw it out. I think he tried to pull a rope-a-dope on everybody and be like, oh, no, I'm throwing it out. And meanwhile, it was actually he's keeping that.
He's hanging on to the home run ball. Okay.
I respect the hustle.
You do?
I respect the hustle.
I think it's cheating, man. That's cheating. You're supposed to throw it back. Those are the rules. Opposing team hits it, you throw it back. All right? So we played that Jack Easterby audio earlier this week. He did an interview with Ross Tucker, our good friend, and it was mostly about...
Used to be.
Yeah.
So he asked a bunch of softball questions to Jack Easterby.
Good friend, air quotes. Yeah. Now he's just sus. So Easterby was on there, and Ross asked him about his time in Houston and why he was so polarizing. I'm not going to replay the answer because we have to get out of here by 10 a.m., it was that long. It was like a 3-minute answer.
It was ridiculous. A filibuster.
Complete filibuster of just of complete BS. But having to listen to that and being able to gain a little perspective and appreciate where we are now is an exercise I was going through. So Seth, I just started jotting down yesterday. Like, man, peak Easterby was like 2021. You know, like once he'd gotten everybody else out of the building, and now it's new people in there, and these are all people that he knows or he can bring in or he can help manipulate or whatever. That 2021 season was a complete fever dream, and I was jotting down, like, okay, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receiver, best defensive players on the team, and it is remarkable. Look, the Texans still need to win at a high level in the postseason. I get all that, but that it's been spun around this quickly to where in 4 years you go from Davis Mills to C.J. Stroud at quarterback. You go from a starting backfield of Rex Burkhead and David Johnson to Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. You know, that Nico is your wide receiver now, your main guy, and it was Brandon Cooks back then. And then especially on defense. Like, they had no corners on those teams. None. It felt like, like Terrence Mitchell was a starting corner on those teams. You got Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter now. You've got guys, you got beasts coming off the edge with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Just like the massive upgrades that the franchise has gone through in such a quick period of time. And they haven't gotten everything right, but they've gotten a lot right in this time frame, you know?
Yeah, though, I mean, you look at that in terms of whether or not there are upgrades at those key positions. The only place that you could look at really is say, okay, well, you swapped out Jonathan Greenard for Danielle Hunter, and they both had really good years last year. But, oh, yeah, you've got Will Anderson on the roster as well.
Yeah.
So, your edge rushers, like, it was John Greenard and Jacob Martin.
Yeah.
Remember, Jacob Martin would drive me insane because he only came in on third and forever.
Yeah.
But he was really, really good as a rusher. But he weighed about 132 pounds. And I had to watch McClain would consistently say, like, look at Jacob Martin's stats versus Jadeveon Clowney. I go, no! Jadeveon Clowney is on the field.
Yeah.
Jacob Martin comes in for 12 snaps a game and gets some sacks. Are you serious?
Yeah. Of all these upgrades, though, is there a bigger one? Like, if the biggest upgrade, just looking at the Texans here, 2021 to 2025, it's easily head coach, right? Like, none of these are even close to the upgrade from David Culley to DeMeco Ryans.
I'm going to wait and see on Culley and see what he does in his next day.
In his next chapter?
Coach. Yeah, he's only had one shot at it.
All right,
you know?
Yeah, another bite at the apple. Maybe he learned some things, you know. Like,
remember the first time I Googled David Culley? This is how I treated it. We found out that David Culley had been interviewed. And immediately my mind is like, okay, this sounds like a favor. Like, a lot of times somebody's trying to get their name out there. Somebody has a relationship with David Culley or whatever. So they interview him and it gives them a little bit more cred.
Yeah.
But no. So when I when I Googled David Culley, the first guy that popped up was a gym manager in Long Island.
Yeah.
That was how far below the radar David Culley had flown up.
Yeah. I'm like, this can't be real. This can't be. Oh, it was real. It was definitely real. He had some good, you know, he had some good axioms, though, that he lived by, you know.
It's hard because David Culley, he seems like a genuinely awesome
No, he seems like a really nice guy. Yeah.
Just completely out of place, though.
Which is why every segment that we did about silly decisions that he made was always prefaced with, I think he's a really nice guy.
I think he's a really good dude.
Yeah. So that's...
It was a bad, I've told you this before, when you're aiming for, because they were aiming for some kind of a transition coach there. It's like anything in life when you intentionally lower the bar, you've got a chance of really undershooting.
Yeah.
If you don't treat it. And I felt like they were going for all of these feel good Ted Lasso type things that they wanted out of a coach, and they just set the bar way too low. So Lovie Smith would have been actually a good choice in 2021.
A good 2-year choice.
It would have made sense. Yeah. With potential upside there too.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like, okay, he's an actual NFL coach.
Yeah.
He's a head coach. He operates like an NFL head coach.
I think biggest upgrades from peak Easterby era to today, easily head coach is the biggest one for me, from Culley to D'Amico Ryans, who I think is one of the best young coaches in the league. I think second for me is in the secondary. Like, this is a secondary that is lights out, you know, like that.
Yeah.
The secondary the Texans had back in 2021 had a disgruntled Justin Reed in the final year of his contract, and that was it. They had nothing
right,
else.
That was
in that
it. Justin
secondary.
Reed was the one, and that's where you could say, okay, you know what, though, Justin Reed, I'd love to have him on this team right now, but it is a testament to how dysfunctional everything was there. Justin Reed was the guy that got into some kind of an argument with the head coach, reportedly, in a meeting. Because when good people are in wacky situations, sometimes they're not going to act like the model citizen. Whatever Justin Reed was upset about in that moment, I support him. Having zero clue what it was all about.
I blindly support him on this. Yeah. It's just, man, it's just when you jot those names down and you do it as a ledger, 2021 on this side and 2025 on this side, man, it is... God, it is so much more exciting.
Wait,
it's
when
so
did
much
JJ more... leave?
JJ left after 2020. He left after
right.
the COVID
okay.
year. Yeah, he was. You know, right. he wasn't here for Culley. He was not here for. He wasn't here for Culley. Someone is wondering. Okay. Someone's asking, learning new slang and recruiting younger listeners. That's a relief. Between the mustache and the ice cream truck that you were talking about the other day, I was worried Seth was doing some more sinister moves to try to get the younger audience in.
I don't have if anything, you should be more concerned. I'm going a whole hog into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With my skibbity ribs. I learned that during
the slang is throwing people off the scent of the really creepy stuff.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, Seth's one of the coolest 32-year-olds I know. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. Well, you don't
skibbity
look
Riz, I learned. So skibbity means stupid, and Riz is like you're, you know, pitching woo, the way Sean called it back in the day.
That's exactly right. That's
I was talking to my wife about that yesterday, pitching woo. I just brought it up out of nowhere. I'm like, I don't know when pitching woo started, that term, but it's by far the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know,
man.
Like a lot of things back in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Like, things were super creepy, but people were too naive to realize it or anything.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't realize it. Like, yeah, that pitching woo and throwing a Mickey in a drink isn't as quite as funny as, when played out in real time, it's not as funny as it sounds in a song.
Okay, you know, Amy and I love watching Family Feud with Steve Harvey. I think Steve Harvey is one of the best people at his job, not just in entertainment. Him hosting Family Feud is hilarious to me. He's really, really good on there. So we love watching Family Feud. So anytime you bring up, I think he's the best Family Feud host of all time. There have been several. People bring up Richard Dawson, who's the OG. He's the original.
Yeah.
And they bring up just anecdotally, like, well, he used to kiss the wives and things like that on there. They probably wouldn't get away with that. They were showing old Richard Dawson Family Feud episodes on the Game Show Network like a week ago. You watch it now, it is so much creepier than you can even describe. It's one of those things, Seth, that when you describe it, you're like, oh, okay, I mean, that sounds creepy. But then you see the video. It's like the Ray Rice thing. Like, you hear that he hit somebody, then you see the video of him actually hitting somebody, and you're like, that is really terrible. The episode, he's literally walking up to the wives and kissing them on the lips while their husbands just sit there smiling, looking at it. Like,
And he's got a look in his eyes.
Yes, he's very very sociopath and very there's no volume to him at all. It's very even keel, just almost looking like, hey, I'm going to do some things to you. Yeah.
No, he looks back at the audience. I'm watching one of them now. It's the way he looks back at
so
the
bad.
Audience.
Right. Am I right? Isn't it worse looking at it than talking about it?
Yes. It's so creepy.
It's so bad. Oh. And that's what people think you are with that mustache right now.
This is the best mustache that anybody's ever had.
It's true.
In the history of mustaches.
It's awesome. It is awesome.
Hey, I got a question.
Okay.
Because I was watching a World War II documentary the other day. Okay. And I was thinking about, so a lot of times what happens in, societies, especially if they have a king or a dictator or something, is people adopt the hairstyles and the facial hair of rulers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm watching this Hitler documentary, and I'm thinking like, how that mustache was so stupid.
Yeah.
That I think Himmler was the only one that even tried to emulate that.
So they didn't have a bunch of like thin,
not that I could see. Yeah. And it wasn't when you watch the footage of the citizens or anything like that. It was such a stupid mustache that even like the Fuhrer couldn't get that.
Over.
Right. Yeah, there's got to be a reason for that. Yeah. Did he disallow people having his mustache?
Oh, I'm the only one that can have this?
Stupid mustache?
Yeah, I'm the only one that can have this mustache. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Did a lot of stupid things. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Bold statement.
Yeah, hot take.
He was kind of sus. Looking back on it, right. Hitler was kind of sus.
Kind of sus, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Oh, the top 10 edge rushers are out on ESPN. Did the D tackles earlier. Did Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson make the cut? Top 10 edge rushers according to coaches, scouts, and executives in the NFL. We'll hit that coming up next.